Mr. Chairman, thank you. Thank you for finding a way also to involve all the members of this committee in the briefings about the surveillance program, which there is so much concern and discussion about. A few of us had been briefed, at least to some extent, partly into the program, but now, because of your efforts, Mr. Chairman, and your decision, every member of this committee can now have that capability, and for that, I think we should all be grateful and are grateful. The nomination of a new director for the Central Intelligence Agency comes at a time when the agency is in disarray. Its current director has apparently been forced out, and the previous director, George Tenet, left under a cloud. After having compromised his own objectivity and independence and that of his agency by misusing Iraq intelligence to support the administration's policy agenda, the next director must right this ship and restore the CIA to its critically important position. To do so, the highest priority of the new director must be to ensure that intelligence, which is provided to the President and to the Congress, is, in the words of the new reform law, quote, timely, objective, and independent of political considerations. That language described the role of the Director of National Intelligence, but as General Hayden himself has stated, that responsibility applies not only to the DNI and to the Director of the CIA personally, but to all intelligence produced by the intelligence community. The need for objective, independent intelligence and analysis is surely as great now as it has ever been. The war on terrorism and the nuclear intentions and capabilities of Iran and North Korea could be life and death issues. Heaven help us if we have more intelligence fiascos similar to those before the Iraq war, when, in the words of the head of the British intelligence, the U.S. intelligence was being, quote, fixed around the policy, close quote. General Hayden has the background and credentials for the position of CIA director, but this job requires more than an impressive resume. One major question for me is whether General Hayden will restore analytical independence and objectivity at the CIA and speak truth to power, or whether he will shape intelligence to support administration policy and mislead Congress and the American people as Director Tenet did. Another major question is General Hayden's views on a program of electronic surveillance of American citizens, a program which General Hayden administered for a long time. That is the program which has taken up a great deal of the public attention and concern in recent weeks. The war on terrorism not only requires objective, independent intelligence analysis, it also requires us to strike a thoughtful balance between our liberty and our security. Over the past 6 months, we have been engaged in a national debate about NSA's electronic surveillance program and the telephone records of American citizens. That debate has been hobbled because so much about the program remains classified. Public accounts about it are mainly references by the administration, which are selective and incomplete, or the result of unverifiable leaks. For example, the administration has repeatedly characterized the electronic surveillance program as applying only to international phone calls and not involving any domestic surveillance. In January, the President said, quote, the program focuses on calls coming from outside of the United States, but not domestic calls. In February, the Vice President said, some of our critics call this a domestic surveillance program. It is not domestic surveillance. Ambassador Negroponte said, quote, this is a program that was ordered by the President of the United States with respect to international telephone calls to or from suspected al-Qaeda operatives and their affiliates. This was not about domestic surveillance. Earlier this year, General Hayden appeared before the press club, where he said of the program, quote, "The intrusion into privacy is also limited only international calls." Now, after listening to the administration's characterizations for many months, America woke up last Thursday to the USA Today headline, quote, "NSA has massive database of Americans' phone calls," close quote. The report said, quote, "The National Security Agency has been secretly collecting the phone call records of tens of millions of Americans. The NSA program reaches into homes and businesses across the nation by amassing information about the calls of ordinary Americans, most of whom aren't suspected of any crime," close quote. The president says we need to know who Al-Qaeda is calling in America, and we surely do. But the USA Today article describes a government program where the government keeps a database, a record, of the phone numbers that tens of millions of Americans with no ties to Al-Qaeda are calling. And the May 12th New York Times article quotes, quote, "one senior government official who," quote, "confirmed that the NSA had access to records of most telephone calls in the United States," close quote. We are not permitted, of course, to publicly assess the accuracy of these reports. But listen for a moment to what people who have been briefed on the program have been able to say publicly. Stephen Hadley, the president's national security advisor, after talking about what the USA Today article did not claim, said the following, quote, "It's really about calling records, if you read the story. Who was called when and how long did they talk? And these are business records that have been held by the courts not to be protected by a right of privacy. And there are a variety of ways in which these records lawfully can be provided to the government. It's hard to find the privacy issue here," Mr. Hadley said. Majority Leader Frist has publicly stated that the program is voluntary. And a member of this committee has said, quote, "The president's program uses information collected from phone companies. The phone companies keep their records. They have a record, and it shows what telephone number called what other telephone number." So the leaks are producing piecemeal disclosures, although the program, remains highly classified. Disclosing parts of the program that might be the most palatable and acceptable to the American people, while maintaining secrecy until they're leaked, about parts that may be troubling to the public is not acceptable. Moreover, when Stephen Hadley, the president's national security advisor, says that it's hard to find a privacy issue here, I can't buy that. It's not hard to see how Americans could feel that their privacy has been intruded upon if the government has, as USA Today reports, a database of phone numbers calling and being called by tens of millions of Americans who are not suspected of any wrongdoing. It is hard to see, however, if the leaks about this program are accurate, how the only intrusions into Americans' privacy are related to international phone calls, as General Hayden said at the National Press Club. And it's certainly not hard to see the potential for abuse and the need for an effective check in law on the government's use of that information. I welcome General Hayden to this committee. I thank you, General, for your decades of service to our nation. I look forward to hearing your views. I also ask that a letter from Senator Rockefeller, sent to General Hayden yesterday, be made part of the record at this point. And I just am delighted to report to each of us and to all of his colleagues and so many friends that Senator Rockefeller's recovery from his surgery is proceeding well. on schedule, and he is not only following these proceedings, but he is participating to the extent that he can without actually being here. And I thank you again, General, for your service, and I thank you also, Mr. Chairman.